Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, May 15th, 2019. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 26 of the chapter, There is a Solution, reading and commenting on the second paragraph, which begins, So he returned to his doctor. Today's readers are Anita L. for the 12 Steps, Jennifer H. for the 12 Traditions, Pia S., and Priya H. And Janice M. is our newcomer greeter today, and Regia will have some announcements later on for you as well. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, Tuesday, May 14th, is 12900. That's 12,900. And the reference meeting for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for May 15th is 12902, 12,902. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Anita L. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and with that I pass.
Thank you very much, Anita L. And I'll now ask Jennifer H. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Alabama, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Jennifer H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions of recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted using star 1. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. In the chapter, There is a Solution, we are on page 26. Reading and commenting on the second paragraph, and I will now ask P.S. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service. This is P.S., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. So he returned to this doctor, whom he admired, and asked him point blank why he could not recover. He wished above all things to regain self-control. He seemed quite rational and well-balanced with respect to other problems, yet he had no control whatever over alcohol. Why was this? So, I don't really know why I don't have any control over the food. I wish I had control over the food, but the food controlled me. So my own power or any other human power can't help me here. And Roland, he went to the best of the best. Still, he drank again after his treatment with Dr. Young. I just had to admit that I was powerless, and I had to surrender to something that was bigger than myself. I had to surrender my will and my life. And that started with getting entirely abstinent and clean with the food, because the food had to be quiet so I could hear and pay attention. Then I started to work the steps with a sponsor, and the steps led me to a spiritual connection with my creator, my wonderful source of love and energy. This connection solves not just my compulsive overeating, but it also solves my problems with other people, conflicts, resentments, fears. It solves all my living problems, actually. The only requirement is that I work the steps on a daily basis now. And I have to clean house every day. I have to stay close to God through constant prayer and meditation. And I have to work with others and carry this message. And I feel so blessed that I'm able to do that today. So thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Pia S. Who would like to comment on this paragraph today?
Penny Sarah L.
Beatrice
Irene
O.
K.
Okay, I heard three names. Okay, I heard Penny, and I'm not exactly sure Penny L. C., Beatrice O., I heard Miriam Rivka, and who else wanted to share?
Kara,
Melanie C.
Donna,
Reggie O.
And Reggie O. Let's, and I think I heard a Donna B., is that right? Okay.
Donna
so this
B.
is.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. I have Penny L. C., Beatrice O., Miriam Rivka, I'm not sure the last initial of your last name, Carrie H., I believe, Melanie C., Reggie O., and Donna either B or D. So please bear with me and correct me if I got you all wrong. We're going to start out with Penny L. C., followed by Beatrice O. Please go ahead, Penny.
Thanks very much, Elaine, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L. C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And when I read this paragraph, I just reflect on the fact of, you know, I tried so hard in all things to regain control and to try to capture control. And it was elusive all the time. And why is that? Because if I know my higher power is my creator, I believe that my higher power is my creator. And my creator did not create me to be in control. You know, it's for me, it's as simple as that. I am created, I am formulated to be able to surrender and interact with my higher power, surrender to my higher power, and take my will and my life and turn it over to that higher power and be willing to speak that higher power's will. Sounds like someone's unmuted, just to mention. And so if that's the way I'm created, then for me,
oh, Penny L. C., could you please press star one to unmute? And I think we may need it to
mute. Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know I got muted.
I paused you, so please go on ahead. Okay.
Was I heard at all?
Just the last few words we missed. Okay.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So grateful to know that I don't need to know more than the fact that today, as long as I seek and follow my higher power's will for me, then it will be the right direction for me to go, and things will be as they are meant to be. I don't need to rely on myself. That's when I get into trouble every time. I need to rely on my higher power. Trying to regain my own self-control is, some people would say, the definition of insanity. Trying to do something that is not meant to happen. So instead, I am grateful today to know what the solution is, and it's simply to walk with my higher power and to be blessed by that each day. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Beautiful. Thank you very, very much. Okay, Beatrice O., you're up next, followed by Miriam Rivka H.
Okay, thank you. Can I be heard? This is Beatrice from Los Gatos, California. Can I be heard?
Yes, thanks.
Good morning. So that why is this question, the last three words in this paragraph? Well, I needed to know why as well. And so I learned that, you know, genetics were part of it. I was predisposed. I learned that my childhood trauma has something to do with it, because my body keeps score. I learned that it was a conditioned response. This is something that I had as a child, and what I used food because I was in the fight or flight state, always in fear. And I learned that my brain was permanently changed the structure of my brain. And what I learned is it's a sickness, it's a soul sickness. This addiction for me robs my soul. Just like everything that happened to me as a child was robbing me of my childhood. But God was there for me. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. And I can tell you today, I would not be in this program or have a relationship with my higher power if I was not a food addict. There's no way. I didn't trust God in my youth. I was angry at God. I felt that this world was screwed up, and he screwed up my life, and he put me in the wrong family, on the wrong street, in the wrong neighborhood. But I had to understand why. Call it an allergy, call it a mental illness, call it whatever you want. It doesn't matter anymore. I have an obsession of the brain. And I have a brain that gets hijacked when I eat the substances that manifest a mental disorder that I have in my brain. And it's developed over time. That's why I know that I'm a real food addict. I'm not a moderate eater. I'm a food addict. And the structural functions of my brain have been changed.
Gentle reminder.
And so I just want to say that I'm a grateful food addict. I know why. And I had to do an about face and face God and surrender. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Miriam Rivka H., you're up next, followed by Kara L.
Thank you so much. This is Miriam Rivka H., recovered compulsive eater in New Jersey. I like reading this. I find it comforting. And especially when I first came to the program and heard other people expressing these same questions of, I want to regain self-control, right? I'm able to manage the rest of my life pretty well. Why can't I fix this problem? And I think I was really baffled by this. I had never experienced this in any other area of my life. You know, in any other area, I wanted to become a professional. I applied myself. I studied hard. I went to school. I graduated. You know, whatever it was, whatever I wanted to accomplish, I set my mind to it. And if I tried hard enough and long enough, it worked. But here was a problem, an eating problem that I couldn't tackle no matter how hard I tried. And even when it made no sense, you know, I remember really early on when I was still a teenager, my mom brought me to a nutritionist because I was vomiting and she was trying to help me eat healthier. And the nutritionist gave me a beautiful food plan and showed me exactly what I needed to eat. And I knew I was coming back in 7 days to be weighed again. But I don't know, a day or two later, I found myself just scarfing down food that was not on that food plan. And it made no sense. Like, I knew what I was supposed to be eating. I knew this woman was going to be weighing me. I knew I would have to come back to her and tell her what I did. But I couldn't stop. I couldn't regain that control. And it's all, you know, even though this, we're reading this paragraph, it's like desperation, right? He doesn't know what to do. He can't figure it out. But it also, there's a comfort in that, because if I can identify with that desperation, and as we'll see later, you know, this man does very well using this program, the comfort is the same thing can happen to me. And I see my time is running out, but I just encourage anyone. Like, I came here and I was here for such a long time, trying and trying and trying and slipping and thinking that it can't work for me. And it did when I actually applied myself to these simple rules and followed these simple steps. The same miracle that happened to this guy, that happened to me, that happened to so many of us on this line, it happened to you. And with thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Miriam Rivka H. Kara L., you're up next, followed by Melanie C.
Good morning. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you to everybody that's doing service on this meeting and those that have already spoke. Part of my recovery. Thank you all. I love this whole entire chapter. I think that every time we read a new paragraph, I go, I got so much from that one. Oh, no. And I think it's being able to identify. It's being able to identify in with the literature and being able to identify with everybody that has spoken. And I might never know why food was so a problem for me. Truth is, today I don't have to know why. All I have to know is that I can't solve it and that my higher power can. And yeah, going, you know, diets that worked and losing a lot of weight and then gaining it all back. And, you know, then when the diets didn't work and looking to my, you know, friends and saying, why? I don't understand. You know, I can do this, I can do that. The truth is, I don't know why. All I know is that I can't do it. And that every day I have to reach for my higher power, and every day I have to ask help, and every day I have to work. What I can do is work on clearing the wreckage from my past, work on keeping my connection with my higher power clear and clean. And how do I do that? I do that through working the steps. I do that through daily 10 steps and 11th and 12th steps, working with others. When something is bothering me, I don't let it bother me. I don't have control if it's bothering me, but I get to work on it. I write out a little mini 4-step. I do a 10-step. So, I do all the steps. I call a fellow. I let it go. I ask my higher powers counsel. I practice. I practice every day. I ask my higher powers counsel for everything. What should I wear today? What should I eat today? I put my hand on it. Do you think this is a good choice? Oh, you know, I'm reviewing my day with you in my morning meditation, and I don't know what to do here. Can you please give me an inspiration, intuitive thought, or a decision? And then I let it go because it always comes. And when I'm in that state, when I'm constantly seeking my higher power's will, and I'm constantly, I love my higher power. I'm getting such a close relationship when I get a, I think my higher power is funny, and I think that, you know, when my higher power is waiting for me to ask for an opinion, waiting for me to ask for inspiration. And when I do, it always comes. And I'm always shocked and surprised to how easy it is. And I forget. And so every morning I've got to get up and do it. And every night I have to do my things. And throughout the day I have to work. Because I just don't know why. But I've found a solution. And there's a solution for everybody on this line. It's here in this big book. It's here in the steps. And I want everybody to have that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Reggie O.
Thanks so much, Elaine. This is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling in from Wilsonville, Oregon. And I remember, so I started out saying what I was going to say first, but what I wanted to tell you mostly is it's not going to be different than you've heard this morning. I just want to be able to chime in because for me, when I listen to these things, the thing that helps start changing and turning and shifting my thinking is depth and weight, which we hear about in the big book, and also the volume of the choir of people that are saying the same thing over and over again that can help me change from what I'm thinking today to something different. What was integrated into my life forever and ever and ever was that if you're overweight, then you died, and that's the answer to that. And many of the people that I was around weren't overweight in the first place, but
that this idea about a diet was going to be fantastic and it was going to work, and I just kept going over and over again, because how come? Because the New Women's Day magazine on the rack, or the Cosmopolitan, any of those things on the rack had a new idea each and every month. But when I went to my doctor and started getting prescribed medications for this kind of thing that I was having, I said, how come it's not working? Why? How come it's not working? And I think that's what's happening here. They don't know. They don't know. They can only turn me right back to diets again. I think that Dr. Jung was kind of perplexed as well, because he says, you know, I tried to institute the same thing in you, but there's not a connection. And so I only had the idea of the explanation for me that I could come up with, that I pounded into me, was the constant flogging of shame that I wasn't worthy, or that I was written out of the Lamb's Book of Life, or whatever terminology that I used with myself, that compounded the issue and continued to turn down the dimmer switch on me. What I didn't get, that I get in here now. And if I can say this loud and clear enough for anybody that has any doubt, there's a couple of instruments in which you can guide this against. One is page 44 in our big book that says, ask yourself two questions. Ask yourself two questions, and if you can answer it clearly, both of those together, then join us until your thinking catches up with the reality. And then the next one is that I take in certain things in my body, and if this is true, then I'm going to be biologically mandated. It's a body chemistry. To not care about anything else. I'm not going to care about my job, my career, my husband, my finance. I'm not going to care about anything else. Food will take its place. And if that's true, then I got some really, really great news for you. This particular program, when the food's put aside and you know what you're allergic to and not putting it in your body anymore, the 12 steps will work on the twisted thinking. And you'll be free. Come join us with all across.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. Reggie O., you're up next, followed by Donna B.
Thank you, Elaine. Hello, everybody. This is Reggie O., very gratefully recovered outside Los Angeles and Woodland Hills. And, wow, you know, he believed he had acquired, in the paragraph above, it was such a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind, you know. There's that wonderful self-knowledge, again, that we've heard other places in the big book avails us nothing. And he had learned it from the best of the best. And however, he was drunk in a short time when he left a very intensive treatment with the best and had no idea what was wrong, given all this knowledge that he had. And I love this part. He wished above all things to regain self-control. And that's also in other parts of the book, I think. You know, the first time we read it, it's with that very desperate man hidden in the barn, you know, determined to die in the doctor's opinion. And he said, you know, it was all a waste of effort unless he could be assured, you know, that if he would be given the willpower to resist the impulse to drink. Well, that, you know, this, whatever this is in my experience, has baffled me time and time again. You know, I was recovered once a long time ago. When I was willing to do whatever it took to recover. And as a result, and I did, and as a result, I got this amazing relationship with my higher power. My life turned around in every respect. Went back to grad school and studied in this clinical program and started slipping away from what I had done. But I ended up thinking now I had all this knowledge, right? All of this knowledge that I had learned in this program and practiced, and so I would be okay. And the crazy-making thing for me was that I did have a very strong recovery, and it was bit by bit by bit that I slipped away until it felt like this. There had been this break in this gravitational pull that had held me. You know, that had held me, and I was out. It was so almost impossible for me to come back, you know, and impossible for me to surrender again, you know. And you know, as I'm looking at this part of surrendering, you know, and we're in this chapter that is, there is a solution, you know, and the solution is a relationship with a power greater than myself that can do for me what I can't do for myself. This, you know, the only help this higher power needs from me is to do what I need to do my part, which is not relieving the compulsion or controlling the food or doing this or doing that. It's working the steps over, you know, and over again. And so, but what happens, you know, the power that I've gotten, that we get from doing that, is beyond any power, you know, it's beyond any power I would have imagined. And and it takes a load off my back, because I can't do what I was not made, I can't do what I was not made to do, you know, only a higher power can do that. Thanks, Elaine. And that's, you know, that's what I get, you know, and we get by doing this work. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Reggie L. Donna B. is up next, and right after her, we're going to take another lineup for people who'd like to comment on the second paragraph on page 26 that begins, "So he returned to his doctor." We're commenting just on that one paragraph. Please go ahead, Donna B.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling in from Denver. And as I look at this paragraph, I think about what an honor it is when people come to me and ask me point blank why they cannot recover. And that creates the opportunity for me to go through my own story, to share my own experience, strength, and hope, which continues to remind me of where I came and the work that I need to do to remain where I am in a recovered state. In working with others, it says, burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well, regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house. And I think what I've heard a lot this morning is, I like that metaphor of a chorus of voices reminding all of us that we can get well. When I first came into the program, I was very uncertain about my concept of a higher power. And hearing over and over and over again from so many different types of people with so many different life experiences that they recovered, and that I too can recover, was a message with depth and weight that really inspired me to take every single action that was being suggested to me. So when a newcomer or somebody struggling in the room point blank asks me why can't I recover, I don't think the question of why is the important one, but rather, I see that you have recovered. What can I do to join the ranks of those who are living in recovery? And by working this program on a daily basis and having the opportunity to work with many others who are recovered, I have an answer, not to why, but what can I do? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Would like to comment on this paragraph.
Janice P.M.
Janice P.M. Mm-hmm.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Polly B.
Polly B.
Rebecca
Anna B.
I heard Rebecca T. and a couple other people maybe. We have
Anna B.
Was it Bobby P.?
Anna B.
Anna.
Three.
Okay, and I may have time for one more. I have Janice P.M., Kathleen O., Polly B., Rebecca T., Anna C., and possibly one more, but probably not. let's just go with that and see how we do. Janice P.M., please go ahead, followed by Kathleen O.
Well, thank you, Elaine B., and good morning to everyone. My name is Janice P.M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. So he returned to the doctor. Why? Why did he return to the doctor? Well, because he thought, my goodness, after being 1 year with the best doctor, one of the best psychiatrist in the world, and I picked up a drink. So he went back to him. Why? Because he admired him. You see, that was his God. That's what we have to be careful for in this wonderful meeting, too, that we can admire people, but we can't make them our idol. Because if you're like me and you're a real compulsive overeater, like it tells you on page 21, once you start to pick up that bite, you lose all control. And there's no one, I don't care who it is in this meeting or the meeting in the morning, that we can admire them so much as to give me my recovery, because that's not true. The fellowship is absolutely wonderful for me. I need it every day, you know, the support. But that's not where I'm going to have the obsession removed. It's just not. I've had the best sponsors, the best meetings, like to me this is. And nobody can give me that. He went to this is a story about Roland Hazard. He had the money. He was a very wealthy man. He seemed very normal in a lot of ways. He went to the best psychiatrist, you know. And like I said, he appeared very normal. But he had no control over his alcohol, like we just heard from a member that on page 44, you and I can diagnose ourselves. In other words, oh, yeah, do I do like that? Yeah. Do I do like that? Yeah. So I am a real compulsive overeater. Now, I've been to many OA face-to-face in the past 3 decades. And, they stayed thin. But they didn't go through the steps. But you see, the secret is maybe they weren't a real compulsive overeater like me. And they could control that dieting. I tried it. I tried every which way. I even asked my husband to get me diet pills because he was a doctor. He could write them. I wanted to eat. The obsession of the mind was stronger than that diet pill. Imagine, because I knew that if I took the diet pill, well, I probably wouldn't eat as much, but I wanted to eat. I wasn't getting that effect.
Gentle reminder.
I'm not eating. Thank you. And so with that, you see, he was going to him, not to him with a capital H, but to him, the doctor, so that he could give the solution. Solution cannot be bought and given by any human being. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice T.M. Kathleen O., you're up next, followed by Polly B.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. And thank you, Elaine, for your service this morning. Good to be on the line with all of you. So if Carl Jung couldn't help Ebby, and I have the same problem Ebby had, but with food, there's certainly no human power that's going to be able to help me with my problem. And this line, he wished above all things to regain self-control. So as a compulsive overeater, I had moments of self-control, but I couldn't hold on to that self-control. And the truth was, I had no control. And that question, why? Well, the answer is, I'm genetically wired this way. Just like I have brown hair, I was not born with a shutoff valve when it comes to food. And, you know, I look at people who do have that shutoff valve. They eat, and they're full, and they stop. And I could never understand that. It's like, what does full have to do with anything? So, you know, I wanted to be of a normal body weight. And health-wise, I needed to stop my crazy, insane eating behaviors. But just like I chose a profession where I needed a college degree. So I wanted the degree. I needed the degree. But I had to take the action and do the work. I had to show up and do the work and graduate. And, you know, food-wise, I wanted to be in a normal body weight and be a normal body size, and I needed it. But just like anything else, I had to show up and do the work. So I had to put the food down and work the steps. And it's really quite that simple. So, you know, Ebby was told by Carl Jung that
there was no medical or psychological hope for an alcoholic of this type. And I've been told the same thing, you know, there's nothing that's going to help me except a power greater than me. And that's what this program is all about, to help us find that power and to work these steps. And Ebby was told by Carl Jung, Roland helped Ebby. Ebby helped Bill Wilson. And that's why we're all here today helping each other. And it's really a gift to be able to surrender and realize that this is the way I am. And if I do the work and continue and not rest on my laurels, I can really live happy, joyous, and free. And life is never perfect. Problems arise, but it's really amazing how this works. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much, Elaine.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Polly B., you're up next, followed by Rebecca T.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. This is Polly B., grateful to be living in recovery today in beautiful North Carolina. This paragraph while Roland reminds me of myself. He asks why 2 times. He has no control. And this is a clear example that knowledge availed him nothing. And in the Serenity Prayer, I ask to be granted the wisdom to know the difference between what I can and cannot control. I don't pray for the knowledge to know the difference. For me, figure it out is not a slogan I can use in this program of recovery. Keep it simple is. And I'm very grateful I had a recovered guide who provided highlights about what is simple. And one of the golden rules is the why is not what's important here. Understanding it, I can study this book after going through the steps as long as I want. It's what do I need to do? And so I need to accept that I'm not going to and I don't need to have the knowledge about why this works, how it works, how to get control. It's not up to me to have control. Wisdom is me letting go of this egocentric need to know and control. And when I'm quiet and pray, like the Serenity Prayer, I may be able to receive serenity, to receive the wisdom. And this book is simple. The directions are simple. And if I can follow them and have faith that it works for others, that it has worked for myself, and that this was a miracle that it was written, then I can have the hope and receive the freedom and the possibility to live in recovery one more day. And for that, I'm very grateful and pass.
Thank you so much, Polly B. Rebecca T., you're up next, followed by Hannah B.
Hey, guys. It's Rebecca T. from Bakersfield, California. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater one day at a time. Thank you, all of my beautiful fellows, for sharing. You know, it's true. I didn't go to the doctor's office to get help. You know, I went for my routine checkups and all those kind of things. Because for some reason, I'd actually walk in there and, you know, they had to mention about the weight. And I said, I know, doctor, you know, don't tell me. I pretty much know. I know my calories. I know my this. I know the food plan. You know, and, you know, when I'm ready to stop, I'll just stop. And that kind of stopped their talking to me after that. But I sought out outside sources of people that have been there, done it before. Of course, not OA, because I did check in no OA, but they kept telling me the solution was a spiritual solution. I thought, well, that doesn't make sense. So I kept on going back to paying money, thousands of dollars, to different people, different diets, different this, different that. And it's true. I kept saying, why can't I? Why do I keep going back? Why do I keep relapsing? And it's so true. I wasn't asking why. I was just saying, like, can you please just give me the solution so I'll do it? you know, I'll do your steps 1 to 10 and then I'll lose the weight and be normal again. That must be the answer. So thankfully after, I don't know, I think, I mean, it's plus 30 years, but maybe over 60 some odd times of trying that in my life, the spiritual solution was the final frontier for me, because I had tried everything else aside from surgical means. So the answer was here. Once the food obsession and craving was removed, once I gave up my alcoholic food, I had to discover it was my ego. And what a strange thing that was, and a hard blow. And so thankfully with all you fellows in this beautiful program and grabbing onto a spiritual sense, I can one day at a time chip away at my ego, which for me was my main problem. And I can just be present on the same sidewalk, on the same space as all of you, and I don't have to be higher than thou or below thou, and that's a beautiful day. Hope you guys have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Rebecca T. Hannah B., you're up next. Hannah B.? I thought I heard an Annabee. Are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, please go ahead.
Thank you. I think it's about acceptance with our disease. It's hard to accept that, you know, we're different from the normies or, you know, we have to do this. It's just simple. We just have to accept it's just simply this way, whether it's, you know, biological or our upbringing or whatever caused it. Unfortunately, we have to accept the hard, cold truth that we're addicts when it comes to food. And there's something, when we look at the normies, in the normal people, and we see them being able to eat whatever they want, and we're kind of envious of them. There's something else that we have in common besides our compulsive overeating with each other. We have strength. I'd say 99.9% of us has been through the most darkest times in a person's life that most people, you know, don't go through. I mean, I remember somebody saying they couldn't even climb out of the hole because they didn't see the light at the hole that they were in because it was buried over with darkness. And we're very strong. I mean, yeah, they could eat whatever they want, but we're extremely strong. And we made it through some really bad times. So when you think about, when you kind of notice them doing, you know, eating what we can't, it's like, oh, well, at least, you know, a problem is not going to blow me over. A smaller problem's not going to blow me over like it could maybe somebody else. So I think we're superheroes. Just being on this line, we're superheroes. And I, there is a good side. And I just want to thank everyone. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Freedom H, we heard you. And we have time just for about a 1 or 2 minute share. If you'd like to jump on the line, you'd be most welcome to be our last share. Today.
Patty T.
Freedom H, are you there? Okay, Patty, you can take just about a minute, okay?
Okay, thank you. Hi, this is Patty T, recovered today from Southern California. You know, I've been on this line for the last year. I think probably this week is a year. And when I think about my relapses, my chronic relapses over the 6 years before I came into this fellowship, I constantly asked why. And looking back on it, the reason I wanted to know why was so that I could deflect any responsibility from myself. I wanted to know why so I could blame, whether it was my genetics or my upbringing or God himself. You know, I wanted to blame somebody for this. And through the process of practicing these steps the way I've been taught over this last year, why does it matter to me anymore? Why do I get upset and disturbed sometimes in a day, multiple times in a day? It doesn't matter why. What I have to do is acknowledge them, accept that's how I feel, turn it over, and go help someone else. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being our last share today, and thank you to everybody who has shared. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Freya H. please read a vision for you?
This is Freya H. in Colorado, opening up my book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.